Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, picking up at verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Verses 15 to 33, Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you, Father, once again for your word and the impact your word has on us daily as we read and meditate on it. Thank you for the opportunity for us to take that time, the time one-on-one with you, reading and meditating on your word, growing, drawing closer to you, and working, moving forward as you mold and shape us to become more and more like you. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family, and thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high, because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to ask that you would continue to teach us this morning, that we'd continue to make ourselves more and more available for your word. And Father, I just want to thank you that you have equipped us so well in how to love by being the example to us first. Thank you so much that we can look to Jesus and how he loved us first. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being part of our listening family. Want to remind you, first do want to say thank you so much. So many have responded and gotten involved with our campaign, working alongside the great ministry Preborn and in helping to provide free ultrasounds for women who may be seriously considering abortion. Praise the Lord for all those that have given, and thank you for all those that are still considering and who will prayerfully consider to give yet. Again, keep in mind, Preborn is a national ministry that it is partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds for women who may be contemplating abortion. Your sponsorship provides mothers who choose life with, along with free ultrasounds, maternity and baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. All these services are provided free of charge to moms up to 2 years of assistance. Over the past 18 years, Preborn partner clinics have counseled over 500,000 women considering abortion, and more than 300,000 babies have been saved, and more than 80,000 women have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for the pledges you've made and the gifts you've given and the prayers you've prayed for the ministry of Preborn as well as AFR in the midst of this campaign. We appreciate every single gift given. Keep in mind, if you're still wanting to give, your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the woman the chance to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. So again, prayerfully consider getting involved. If you'd like to call in to make a pledge to help with this important effort, you can call this number 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate at AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, part two of the topic, Relationships, Sexuality, and Marriage, a Bible Point of View. And of course, yesterday we looked at several passages of Scripture. We looked in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, reminds us that God made us in His image. And also, He created us in His own image, and He created us male and female. And so Scripture is very clear. There are two genders, male and female, and no others. And also in Genesis chapter 2, God also points out the fact that He said in chapter 2, verse 18, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And of course, God took a rib, one of Adam's rib, and formed and made Eve. And so, again, God let it be known, one of the very important truths to be mindful of, it's not good that man should be alone. God provided companionship in the form of a person of the opposite sex in marriage. And so keep in mind, God's word is the answer for all of the challenges, the issues, and the clear direction and understanding and teaching we need to live by, and the things and truths we need to teach our children and our youth. Let me say a word of challenge to every parent listening, to every pastor listening, and to every leader within the church. In the topics of relationship, sexuality, and marriage, they are a huge part of the life of every human being. And it's very important for us as the church to seek to make this topic one that we teach and preach on adequately according to the word and the wisdom of God, because it is such a big part of life. The Bible has a lot to say about relationship, sexuality, and marriage. And so as we're delving further into the Word of God, I want you to be mindful of them. Again, yesterday we looked at in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And also keep in mind, we also, of course, looked and we shared the same scripture we shared a few moments ago, Ephesians chapter 5. But also in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, once again sharing that scripture, it says, "Marriage is to be held in high honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Again, keep in mind, some very basic but very important truths for us to be mindful of is that the sexual relationship is to be found within marriage and nowhere else, between a married man and woman. between husband and wife. And so again, sex is for married people. It's to be, again, between a married husband and wife. It's not to be between boyfriend and girlfriend. It's not to be between casual friends. It's not to be between two fellows and two or two women, between a married husband and wife. So, again, parents and we as leadership in the church, a huge need for us to address these issues adequately. And so preaching and teaching about them significantly is very important. Again, our goal is to hear the heart of God in addressing them the way they and as much as they need to be addressed. So that's our encouragement, that we each would do that. So keep in mind, dads and moms and husbands and wives, as you're listening again, remember the scriptures, they're important they give important guidance and guidelines to help us to learn how to honor God as men and women of God, as husbands and wives, as dads and moms. God's word is just, again, it's the bottom line. It's our guidebook for all of life, and it's our guidebook for the right kind of marriage. It's our guidebook for the right kind of home and family as well. And keep in mind, we're encouraging every husband and wife, every dad and mom, make it your goal to pray with and for each other every day, because as you partner together to honor God in this area of your life, as well as we partner together to teach our children and our grandchildren these kinds of truths, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the wisdom of God's word. We need a lot of help, a lot of guidance, a lot of help that can only come from the Lord. So I've shared before, but I want to share once again and again, if you'd like to get a copy of it. This article includes prayers, specifically a prayer a husband can pray for his wife and then one a wife can pray for her husband. The article is entitled Praying Daily for Your Spouse. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. So my encouragement is every husband and wife listening, make it your goal to pray daily together for each other. I'll, of course, be sharing the husband's prayer for his wife. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gift my wife Birdie is to me and to our family and to the church and the kingdom of God. Lord, bless my wife today. Indeed, expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain. Help me this day to be the full blessing to her today that you would have me to be. Fill her day today with joy, peace, grace, and encouragement. Help her to walk in your love, joy, and peace. Help her to spend the time in your word and in prayer today that you would have her spend in Jesus' name. Help her this day to put you first in her life. Help her to make no graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to value life. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet in Jesus' name. Lord, empower her this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life. Help her today to be the living sacrifice you'd have her to be. Thank you for the gift she is to me, to the kingdom of God, and to you. Dear Lord, bless her and keep her. Lord, make your face to shine upon her. Be gracious to her. Dear Lord, lift up your countenance upon her and give her your peace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And again, that's the prayer a husband can pray for his wife. And again, this article does contain the similar prayer that the wife will pray for her husband as well. Please email us to get a copy of it. Again, the title of the article, Praying Daily for Your Spouse. Lord, thank you for every single couple that may be listening, every husband and wife, every dad and mom. Father, anoint the prayer life of every single couple or family represented. More and more empower them to be the praying family you'd have them to be. And help us to recognize that so much good, so much grace, so much blessing flows into our lives as we make prayer the priority you would have us to make it in our homes and in our lives. Empower us to be praying fully as you would have us to. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, part two of Relationships, Sexuality, and Marriage, A Bible Point of View. We'll be right back.
Loves like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
How he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how
his portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my.
Music from Covenant Church with How He Loves. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, part two of the topic, Relationship, Sexuality, and Marriage, a Bible Point of View. And also we pointed out that as it relates to the whole reality of the institution of marriage as God has established it, there are a number of unique challenges that in our culture marriages face. And so speaking to every parent listening, again, these are issues that we're to live by. We're to seek to understand what the Bible has to say, what God's Word has to say about each of these issues. And our goal also is to be sure that we're seeking to honor the Lord in these areas of our lives, follow His guidance as found in the Word of God, but also our goal is to teach them to our children. Keep in mind, sadly, too many times our children are learning insights about relationships, sexuality, and marriage from the wrong sources. The best single source, of course, is the Word of God. The Bible has a lot to say about the topics of relationship, sexuality, and marriage. But the key is, as parents, we're to dig it out and share it with our children. But also, again, there's some excellent books out there that can help you. But it is important that we're teaching our children about the topics of relationship, sexuality, and marriage from a Bible perspective. Sadly, too many children learn what they know from the internet, from friends who don't know or love the Lord or know the Word of God, from movies, all sorts of wrong sources. They need to be learning these truths from the Word of God and from their parents as well. So parents, it's a very careful and prayerful project of teaching them about these important areas of their lives. And our goal is to teach them clearly from a biblical foundation. So I can't overemphasize that. Again, some of the most common problems that marriages face in our culture today include these specific areas. Number one, money. Number two, intimacy or the sexual relationship. Number three, undesirable friends, the wrong connections, relationships. Number four, household division of labor. Number five, parenting differences of opinion. Number six, addictions. And number seven, communication. Not necessarily in that order. Keep in mind, we need to pray for grace and wisdom over all of these areas in all of our marriages because, again, all of us need God's wisdom. We all need God's grace, and we all need God's help in addressing these areas of our marriages in a way that honors the Lord. I want to invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 5. Now, keep in mind, again, every husband and wife listening, these are good chapters for you to read and think and meditate on because they have a lot of wisdom and insight for us as husbands and wives, but also these are chapters that have a lot of insight and truths you're wise to teach your children as well. So Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment, and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. For she cares nothing about the path to life. She staggers down a crooked trail that doesn't realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all who, and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, "How I hated discipline! If only I had not ignored all the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace." Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman, or fondle the breasts of a promiscuous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. For he will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. Again, verses 1 through 23, all of Proverbs chapter 5. Now, for time reasons, we won't go into great detail in looking at this chapter, but it's a powerful chapter in addressing the issue of relationships and sexuality from a biblical perspective. Keep in mind, basically, the first part of the chapter is where he's talking about the problems of being sexually immoral and a sexually immoral life, and it alludes to a person who has lived a wild life in the air of relationships and sexuality and eventually has come down with some sort of disease that he's dying of. And finally, he regrets the fact that he lived such a wild life. And then there's a quick and determined change in verse 15. It says, drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. In other words, keep your sexual relationship within the bounds of your marriage and nowhere else. Now, the reality is, sadly, a major scourge in our culture, of course, is the problem of pornography. It's so easily accessible. Obviously, not just through publications, but by way of cell phones and computers and that sort of thing. And the fact is, it's easy for people to function in secrecy. But it's important for us to understand that we really need God's wisdom, his grace, and his help in seeking to honor him in this area of life. Yes, looking at pornography is a form of adultery, and it's sinful. It's something believers should avoid, men and women. Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking, well, it's just men that get addicted. Sadly, some men get addicted to pornography. Some women get addicted to pornography as well. It's something to be avoided. It has no place in a person's marriage. It's important that we look to the word and the will of God. And so keep in mind, God is speaking of keeping your sexual relationship strictly within the bounds of your marriage between a married husband and wife, nowhere else. So it's important that we know God's word has plenty to say about it. For time reasons, we're not going to read Proverbs chapter 7, but Proverbs chapter 7 has some powerful insights about these very same issues. Please take time to go and read them when you have that opportunity. You know, in the Word of God, in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 5, it has a very powerful and tragic story in the life of King David. Now, keep in mind, one of the many ways God's word helps us and guides us is it lets us know that even servants of God in the Bible, sometimes they struggle in this area of their lives. Sometimes men and women struggle when it comes to sexual temptation. And clearly we see some of the great leaders in Scripture, they did as well. King David had some of his biggest challenges in the area of relationships and sexuality. 2 Samuel chapter 11, picking up at verse 1, it tells us these words. And this is in an insight into the life of King David. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Raba. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, "I'm pregnant." Verses 1 through 5, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now remember King David, a great servant of God, one of Israel's greatest king under Christ. Christ is the greatest king Israel ever had, and of course the king of the universe. But under Christ, David would be considered the greatest king Israel ever had. Yet, when it came to sexual temptation, this is where David fell in a very serious way in his life. David got involved with another man's wife, Uriah, specifically, and then he tried to cover it up and didn't manage to cover it up, and so sadly had Uriah killed in battle deliberately. And so we see some of the ugliest sides of King David's life coming to light, and too much of it happened as a result of him giving in to sexual temptation. It's a big area of life where we need God's wisdom and grace to be able to resist sexual temptation and to honor God in this area of our lives. And sadly then, his son Solomon, it may, in some ways, maybe he learned some sad lessons from his dad as well. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words. Now, keep in mind, King Solomon had prayed and asked God for wisdom. And of course, King David was a man after God's own heart, both of them servants that were seeking to honor the Lord. But both of them, again, fell in the area of sexual temptation. Solomon was a wise king, a wise man, yet he gave into sexual temptation too much in his life. 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, and from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, "You must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods." Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And in fact, they did turn his heart away from the Lord. Again, verses 1 to 3. 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, keep in mind, again, Solomon had asked God for wisdom and God gave him great, great wisdom. But the tragedy is Solomon didn't always apply the wisdom that he had. Solomon ended up with 1,000 wives. Now, amongst other things, part of what that means is he had 999 too many. He should have had one wife that loved God and served God and just helped to serve him as the queen and the king's wife. But again, Solomon had not just one wife, but 1,000 of them. So again, sadly, he had 999 too many. God had clearly warned him that they would turn him away. He told him, "You must not marry them because they will turn your hearts to their gods." And that's exactly what happened. Solomon, in his older age, was allowed himself to be turned away from the Lord. And he didn't continue to serve the Lord with his whole heart and got involved in some very ungodly things as a result of being tempted and kind of misled through the influence of foreign wives. So Solomon and David both, some of their biggest areas of failure had to do with the area of sexual temptation. Lord, thank you for the fact that you're a God, that you give us your word and your Holy Spirit to help us to be strong, to seek to live a life where we serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. More and more, fortify us to be people that are focused and single-minded on wanting to love you and serve you, and who are focused on seeking to serve and follow you and do things your way and avoid sexual temptation. Help us to live that way, and help us, Lord, to teach our sons and our daughters about these realities as well. Help us to take the wonderful gift of your word and help them to learn that your word helps us know what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and what doesn't honor you. Help us to be discerning and listening continually for the wisdom and the guidance of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking today at the topic, Relationship, Sexuality, and Marriage, A Bible Point of View, Part 2. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came. And even second times around, happiness could not be found until love came. I was left all alone.
My heart was breaking.
Thought was my
soul
own.
Was aching.
Tears cover me.
We've been through the whole night.
And I need some relief.
Joy comes in the morning.
I've been searching for
many years now.
The keys to life's door.
Need to know how.
Brought to my knees.
Savior, can you help me?
And was led to believe.
I'll tell you, I was too
but
mean.
His love showed me love said not so. Even with the odds against me, love showed me love said not so. Without a reason or cause, peace and joy placed on pause until love came. Having no hope at all, and not a love of what to call until love came. I was left all alone.
My heart is breaking.
Thought was my
soul
own.
Is aching.
Tears covered me.
We've been through the whole
and
night.
I need some relief.
Joy comes in the morning.
I've been searching for.
Music of BB and CC Winans with Love Said Not So. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at part two of Relationships, Sexuality, and Marriage, A Bible Point of View. Looking now in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 to 9, it tells us these words. The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol, for if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying, and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? Again, that was verses 1 into 10. But again, notice this, Proverbs chapter 31 and also the proverb that we read earlier, Proverbs chapter 5, and I alluded to Proverbs chapter 7, all of them are instances where a parent is talking to a son about life. The first two apparently were a father talking to their son. This one is a mother talking to her son. All of them give advice in the area of relationships and sexuality. It's important to know parents, our sons and daughters, need a lot of guidance. They need a lot of counsel and help when it comes to relationships, because sadly, there are immoral women out there that can help lead your sons astray. There are immoral men out there that can help lead your daughters astray if you're not careful. So it's important for us to prepare and guide our children to discern the word and the will of God in this regard, in this area of life. I've shared before, but I want to take time to share once again. It's an illustration that's used. Actually, it was an illustration story that we used when working with an abstinence class in public schools here in our community. My wife and I, Bertie and I, have had a chance to be a part of that important outreach in our local schools. But this is an illustration story that makes the powerful point as to why it's so important for us to teach our sons and our daughters what God's word says about relationships and sexuality from a Bible point of view. We'll simply call this Lucy's story. Lucy was 16 years old and a junior in high school when she met Adam. Lucy lived at home with her parents and had an older sister who was in college. She was a Christian, had been raised in church, and tried to live a good life. Lucy was one of those pretty girls who didn't know she was pretty. She'd never had a real boyfriend before and was flattered when the young man Adam started talking to her. Adam was 18, a senior in high school and on the football team. His family went to church on Easter and Christmas, but he'd never made a commitment to Christ. Adam was smart and very good looking. Very good looking. Lucy was surprised when Adam started talking to her. She didn't consider herself his type. She didn't consider herself pretty enough or popular enough for Adam, but she really enjoyed the attention he gave her. When Adam asked Lucy to go to a basketball game with her, she quickly said yes. She was a little disturbed when her parents insisted on meeting him before the game, but she guessed she could understand. They didn't know his family, and it was her first real date. She had a great time with Adam that night. Adam was funny, easy to talk to, and very good-looking. She still couldn't quite believe that he liked her. They continued to date, and her parents allowed her to go out once a week with a strict curfew at 11. Sometimes when she and Adam were together, he'd say things that made her feel a little uncomfortable one way, but made her feel pretty in another way. He would tell her how beautiful she was or how good a certain pair of jeans looked on her. One day, Adam was frustrated because he was having problems in one of his algebra classes. Math had always been easy for Lucy, so she offered to help him. They decided to study for a couple of hours after school once a week. Even though Lucy knew her parents would never approve, she allowed Adam to come over after school to study with her. Her parents were at work, and he would be gone by the time they got home. As long as she worked on her homework and had dinner started by the time her parents came home, her mom would never know. The first couple of times that Adam came over, they did exactly what they planned to. They studied together. Just sitting beside Adam at the kitchen table made Lucy's heart beat faster. On the third afternoon that he came over to study, Adam was different. He started kissing Lucy. They never opened a book to study. He came over the very next afternoon, and they immediately started to get physical. Before she knew what had happened, Lucy had done something she'd never thought she would do. She didn't plan to have sex with Adam, but it just happened. She felt awful afterwards, but she knew that she really did love him, and so she justified that it was okay. They continued to have a sexual relationship over a period of time, even though Lucy knew it wasn't right. Adam was just so hard to say no to. Besides the guilt she was feeling, she started worrying that her parents would find out that Adam was coming over in the afternoons. So she told him he'd have to stop coming over. Adam didn't like it, but he stopped coming over. About that time, Lucy was at an overnight party with some of her best friends. They stayed up late and planned to sleep in the next day. But Lucy woke up suddenly at 6 o'clock feeling horribly sick. She ran to the restroom, making it just in time before she got very sick. Her friend's mom heard her and got up to help and wondered if she'd eaten something the night before that made her sick. But Lucy continued to get sick in the morning and the next morning as well, and then Lucy became very scared. She finally told her friend Anna that she was afraid she might be pregnant. Anna was shocked but encouraged her to go to the local pregnancy clinic for a pregnancy test. Anna even went with her. Lucy sat in the waiting room feeling afraid and nervous and very anxious, almost panicked and very embarrassed. When the lady at the clinic told her that the test was positive, that yes, she was pregnant, she felt like she would faint. Everyone was so loving and kind to her at the pregnancy clinic, but when she saw the tiny heartbeat on the sonogram, it hit her that the reality was all true. She was pregnant. She was carrying a baby. Telling her mom and dad was one of the hardest things Lucy had ever done. Lucy's dad cried, and it broke Lucy's heart. Over the next several days, Lucy and her mom fought a lot. Everyone was just so stressed out. Lucy practiced how she would tell Adam. She just wanted him to tell her that they would get through this together and that he would support her. He didn't say anything like that at first. He just sat there silently. Then Adam said, "What are you going to do?" No hugs, no support, no words like, "We'll get through this together." He told her that he was sure that her parents would pay for an abortion. Lucy was shocked. An abortion? She started feeling that panic feeling. The next weekend, she and her parents met with Adam and his parents to discuss the whole matter. It was awful. It was almost like Lucy was the bad girl and that she had done wrong and that Adam hadn't done a thing wrong. His parents even asked how they could be sure it was Adam's baby. Lucy was stunned. She'd never had sex with anyone else, but the worst part was the look on Adam's face when his parents said that. He looked like he agreed with his parents. He didn't even take up for Lucy at all. She'd never felt more alone in her life. She wanted to pray, but she was just too ashamed even to talk to God. The next weekend, after several sleepless nights, Lucy and her friend Anna drove out of state to an abortion clinic. She didn't believe in abortion, but she was desperate. She decided that she would tell her family and Adam's family that she'd had a miscarriage and that everything would go back to normal. Lucy felt like her heart was beating 200 times a minute as she lay on the surgical table in the abortion clinic waiting for the abortion to begin. She just wanted everything to be over. She was alone except for a nurse who was working at the counter. Crying, Lexi finally whispered a prayer to God, "Father, please forgive me." Suddenly, a thought flashed through her mind. Words she had memorized in Sunday school many years ago. "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart." Jeremiah 1:5. At that moment, Lucy stopped crying. She sat straight up. She got off the table. The nurse said, "Wait, what are you doing?" But Lucy didn't wait. She walked into the room where she had changed clothes and got dressed. She found Anna and together they left. On the drive home, Lucy decided that she would get through this somehow. She didn't know how, but she would. In June that year, Lucy gave birth to a 7-pound baby boy. She named him Dylan. Her parents were there for the birth, and so was Anna. Adam was not present at all. In fact, she hadn't heard from Adam in a long time. He'd graduated in May, and she heard he was headed to an out-of-state university. With her parents' help, Lucy finished her senior year and graduated. It wasn't easy. She missed prom and a lot of the traditional things senior girls do, but she was okay. She renewed her faith in God and her commitment to Him and recommitted her life fully to Christ. He got her through everything. Sometimes when she would look into Dylan's sweet face, she would remember that she almost aborted him. But she thanked God that He intervened that day and that He would get them through life together. Again, the title of that article, Lucy's Story. Father, thank you again for the opportunity we as believers have of being able to live in such a way that we honor you in the area of relationship, sexuality, and marriage. More and more, help us to be wise enough to read and study your word, and study your word as to what it tells us about these areas of life, and help us to honor you in the way we live, and help us as parents and those that work with young people to be wise enough to teach and train them what your word teaches us about. Again, relationships, sexuality, and marriage according to the Bible, your precious word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession as we normally do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you take the time to pray and fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord? If you want to make that step, would you make that step even now? Simply from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you and live for you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to get to you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch with us again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Please pray for the ministry of the American Family Association and AFR Radio, American Family Radio, and the ministry of the Hour of Intercession. Be blessed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.